From Paul's house and Storm's house, it's Paul and Storm talk about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes, on average.
Have a big fig, Newton.
Save big money at Can we do this again?
No, man. There's no turning back.
Save big money at Menards. I'm Len.
I'm Storm. And we're going to be talking about some stuff for 5 to 10 minutes on average. Today is Tuesday, December 12th, 2010. That's a first for the podcast, I think.
Yeah.
It wasn't 2010 on the last one. And before we clue you in here as to what the heck is happening, I'll mention that we have 261 minions in the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Go to paulandstorm.com to find about that. And yes, you heard correctly that it is not Paul this week, and it is not another reading from Emily and the Really Sexy Vampire. It is, in fact, co-guest host Len Peralta, of Jawbone Radio Podcast and Monster by Mail and Flipface and other things we will talk about. Fame, Len, say hello to the people.
Hello, everybody. It's good to be here. Thank you for asking me along. I'm very honored to be on the Paul and Storm show. Is that what can we call it, the Paul and Storm show?
You know what? Today, it's the Paul and Storm show featuring Len. Well, do you want to go by Len Peralta or Len,
yeah,
or Lenny?
Just Len. Len, no, just go. Len is fine.
We're going
I think
with
people
Len.
Know who Len is, yeah.
Just thought if we were renaming things, you know, we might give you a little extra zap. You can be anything today.
I got so nervous at the top there, I flubbed my line. But
well, that pretty much puts you right in the pocket for what we're doing.
Yeah. I was saying before we started that, you know, in February, this will be 5 years of me podcasting. We've done almost 261 shows, and I still don't know what the heck I'm doing.
I think that's a healthy sign, because if you do know what you're doing, it's likely that things are just kind of getting stale, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Even on the technical end of things.
Oh, the technical end is always, there's something wrong. Either I'm overmodulated or something. I'll be lucky if I can get out of this interview without sounding like a total weirdo or something.
No, you sound great.
Super.
So now you people know about the Jawbone Radio Podcast,
yes.
But you are so much more than a voice in a podcast, and certainly much more than a guest co-host.
And a bag of Twix.
Bags of Twix and Ritz crackers and all the great things that are bad for you. I'm not saying that you're bad for people.
No, I am bad for people. That's
okay.
True.
We'll go with bad for people. But you are quite an accomplished artist and graphic artist, and probably most of you folks out there have seen his art, most notably for us, that you've done. You did our cover art for our News to Us CD.
Yeah.
You've done, I think, dozens of illustrations for various songs of ours.
Yeah, there's a couple songs I've done. Lame Monster Party, the Grandma's Christmas Dinner was the newest one I just did.
Yep. And also, many more of you will be familiar with Len's work on the Visual Thing a Week that went along with Jonathan Colton's project.
Yeah, well, so, you're totally forgetting Woodstock, the official art for Woodstock.
You know what? But that's how much of a juggernaut you are. Like, you can forget more things that you've done than there are things that can be done.
Yeah, it's funny. It's pretty much now. I'm drawing like a lot every day. It used to be like there used to be stretches of time when I wasn't drawing. And now I'm at a point in my career, if you want to call it that, where I'm actually drawing every day for someone or something. And so there's a lot of people seeing my stuff, and it's out there, and it's good. And so I hope more stuff happens in the future. So
do you feel like you're sort of like, I know Paul and I, sort of our dream is to be in that place where you're just constantly involved with all these cool creative projects, and we'd like to be writing music for this and, you know, scripts for that. Do you kind of feel like you've got that reactor going?
I'd like to think I do. You know, there are definitely some things that are happening that I'm pretty excited about, and who knows what's going to become of them. But yeah, you know, as long as I can, and I think you can relate to this, being a musician, is just as long as you're throwing stuff into the hopper and keeping things rolling. If you feel like you're doing something that's more than just recreational, then,
yeah.
then yeah, things are definitely on the upswing. So yeah. I don't know.
Well, we had a question from a certain Kevin Murphy.
Who is this Kevin Murphy you speak of?
Well, he is from a certain project known as Riff Tracks, who we had a certain Bill Corbett in an earlier episode as a guest co-host, and he was asking about the Flip Faces that you do, as well as your involvement with the Riff Tracks. And
yeah,
if this sounds like an advertisement, I swear it's not. There's no money has been exchanged.
No.
It's just something I'm interested in.
As far as Flip Faces go, they're just another kind of cheeky name for avatars for Facebook and for you know, Twitter and stuff like that. And so what's interesting is that people have been ordering them since September, and I did a lot. I've done a lot for a lot of different, you know, celebrities and things like that. Kevin's one of them. Bill, and then the whole Riff Tracks crew. They're all part of the whole thing. So yeah, that's been pretty interesting. I've started in September, and since September, I think I've done over 400 of those things.
Oh my God!
No.
Well, and now, if you've never seen Len at work, you can. Like, he actually posts videos of him working, and they're sort of accelerated time-lapse type videos.
Yeah.
You do work amazingly fast, though. I have to ask, having done like 400 of these avatar sets for people, how much creative satisfaction do you get from that? I mean, I'm sure it varies.
Well, it does vary, you know, and with each... It's funny because it's like the old adage, you're only as good as your last whatever. And that's the way I feel. And because I'm working on such, like you said, like an accelerated timeline, I'm only as good as my last Flip Face, my last monster, my last zombie, or whatever like that. So I try to look at each single one that comes in as kind of like another creative mountain to climb.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And some will be, I'll be really, really proud of. Others, I'll be like, oh, well, you know, I hope they're happy with it or whatever. And it's a lot harder too, because this is, you know, when I started Flip Face, I really had an idea. I wasn't going to just draw people. I wanted them to come up with concepts and things like that. But mm-hmm. I think the very nature of it, you know, people want to draw, have pictures of themselves drawn.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that was the biggest fear, is that, oh geez, will somebody suddenly like not think this looks like them, or they hate it or something. And it's that, you know, that can cause a ship to go down pretty quickly if you're not really fulfilling that. So, but right. I think after 400 of them, I think people are pretty happy with them. And the other thing, and this is not a paid announcement at all either, but the other thing that's interesting is that I'm on the verge, and you're getting a scoop here.
Scoop it.
This is the big scoop, is that this week, sometime this week, I can't pinpoint when, but hopefully by the time you hear this podcast, Flip Face will be broken into a couple different new projects.
Mm.
Flip Face, there'll be the original Flip Face. I'm doing black and white Flip Faces, so there'll be a black and white version of them for people, and then which I actually personally love. I think those look really awesome. And then the one I'm really excited about is Zombie Flip Face.
So oh, yeah.
You can get yourself drawn as a little zombie avatar, and you know, that could be very, very fun. But yeah, on top of that, I'm drawing monsters. I've, you know, done like 1,300 monsters for people, and
wow,
it's a lot of work.
That's a lot of monsters. I thought you were going to announce that you were going to be conducting an IPO, that you're going to be selling shares.
Yeah. Oh, I wish. Wouldn't that be cool? That would be awesome.
I would buy shares in Len Peralta and whatever it was that he was.
I hope one day I can. You know, that would be. Maybe I can be a. You know, make a little bit of money off this. There, that'd be really cool.
Well, I hope so. So now you folks really know who Len is.
Yeah.
And you've paused the podcast and gone and looked at and all the art, so now you really know. So are you ready to get random?
Yes, and by the way, the 10-minute mark was just 10 seconds ago.
Rock out, Len. You are on it.
I am on it.
You know, we often, I don't think we've ever done it right on the 10-minute mark.
I don't know. I think you may have, but that was pretty close because I'm like, you switched the topic and here we are at the 10-minute mark, so...
That's not too bad, I'll have to say.
No.
Well, I have a couple of things written down.
Okay.
We have a couple of suggestions out there. Or if there's something that you've been thinking about today, I'll give you first opportunity to, you know, if you got something, just out with it.
Well, you know, before we went on Twitter and we're taking a little bit of a poll there. And a lot of people wanted us to talk about this event that happened at NBC, or it's unfailing right now, which is Conan quitting The Tonight Show.
I'm going to be honest. We usually stay away from topical.
Okay.
Just because everybody...
Let's throw that in the trash.
But I'm going to say, because this is a special day. I did a little tweet about it. It almost reminds me of... when they came out with New Coke,
yeah,
back in whenever it was, back in the early days of radio, I guess, and they switched it from the original formula to the new one, and there was a big uproar, and then interest in Coca-Cola just skyrocketed after that.
Yeah.
Though they had, I guess, at the same time replaced the sugar with corn syrup, although people say that's an urban legend, I don't know. But anyway, this almost is starting to feel like that to me, where, you know, it's, oh, Leno's not getting ratings at 10, so let's move him to the Tonight Show slot and move that back, and then here comes Conan, and it's like this big blow-up thing. It's almost like the only way to solve it is to, I don't know.
Wait, there is one way to solve it. I thought, you know, here's the thing, is I thought when you got canceled... you lost your job. So how does it that Jay Leno gets to say, I want to go back at 11:30 now. I was done. I'm done with that now. I mean,
well, it depends on, you know, I don't want to get boring, but like the way contracts are structured, they can cancel you, but there's a penalty for that, you know, because as you know, if you're, you know, I'm Johnny Entertainer and I've got all of this cred and, you know, I've put myself on the line. You're risking yourself to do that. So
I think that Jay Leno should replace Andy Richter. No, actually, I like Andy Richter. I think Andy should be a part of the show. And I think Jay should just fall on the sword, man. He should just, you know, say goodnight.
You know what he should do? Who is the kid who played Anakin in the Star Wars series?
Oh, man, I forget his name. I'm going to feel so stupid now.
Something Hayden Lloyd...
Oh, were you talking about the young kid or the old kid?
Yeah. Not the little kid.
Oh, that's Hayden Christensen, right?
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
He didn't have... Well, he may have three names. I guess he doesn't use three names. he's doing soap operas now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He went to, you know, one place at a hospital. I don't know. One of them.
Yeah.
I think Leno should do soap operas.
Well, why not? I mean, he's still... That would be interesting as a walk-on.
No. I mean, it's like a...
Oh, it's a regular character.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe he's just play himself. You know, Dr. Leno. And he comes in and...
That
and
would be
solves
awesome.
People's problems. No, that's I think that's great. And you know what? It would solve a lot of problems with daytime television. Because daytime television itself is, you know, no one really cares about that stuff. But now you have a reason, you know, to DVR that stuff. And if you know that, you know, Dr. Leno is going to do like his shtick...
Mm-hmm.
During, you know, an appearance on Guiding Light or whatever it was, you'd be more apt, I think, to try to record that.
So basically, they can revive two birds with one stone.
I think, yeah, get NBC on the line. I think we figured this out.
So, okay, problem solved.
There you go. So, you'll write that up. We're going to pitch that to them tomorrow, and we'll get it. We'll collect our 20,000, right?
Yeah. Well, you got to think bigger, Glenn. You got to think bigger.
How about $10? That's, you know, that
there we go. Now we're talking.
There you go. And some Coke. That would be great.
Yes, but the old Coke.
Yes, the old Coke.
Now, can you get the I haven't seen it around here anymore, but around the Jewish high holidays, you would be able to get the original real for true's Coke that had sugar and not corn syrup.
Are you talking the stuff that they put in the bottles?
Yes, yes.
Although, and they actually put them in the bottles. They show them you can get them off the rack there in the bottles, correct?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know if that was... Is that the original recipe?
Well, they do put it in the glass bottles with the corn syrup recipe, but they also have, or at least they used to, bottle it with sugar because, I guess, for the kosher thing, you can't have corn syrup because... Oh. It's not kosher for some reason. I think it has to do with grain products, and corn is a grain. Anyway.
Yes, it is. It is. Or is it a seed?
I don't know. I think the kosher says it's a grain. So
okay. Don't take your word on it.
Someone will correct me later. If you out there know why corn is no good for Passover, please let us know.
Yes.
But anyway, and I guess Mexican Coke you can get some places, which is bottled in Mexico. And
so it's just bottled in Mexico. It doesn't have like a special Mexican salsified feeling to it, right? It's not like a kick in it or something?
I've never detected chili powder in Mexican Coke.
Now, wouldn't that be awesome? Coke could do an entire like line of different flavored Cokes. A Mexican Coke could have that kind of Cajun flavor, or not Cajun, the chili pepper.
Why not Cajun flavor?
Well, that would be more Louisiana, you know what I mean? Like, oh, this is down south, you know, New Orleans, Cajun flavored.
So you mean like an entire Mexican-themed line of products?
Well, not only Mexican, but then you could have, like, you know, other, like, well, there's chocolate Coke, right? There's cherry Coke. But why can't you get, like, more flavored Cokes?
Like savory Cokes.
Yes, yes, that's perfect.
So, right, that's, like a dim sum kind of thing, you
something,
know?
Yeah, and you know what? Here's the marketing on that. You can actually, you know, sell it in dim sum places. This is the Coke to drink when you're eating dim sum, you know? And so it's like, you're not just ordering a Coke, because that's the thing, you know? Coke, when you order it with any kind of meal, it's like, you know, if you're not a big drinker, you'd be like, I'll have a Coke, and it's just a Coke.
Yeah,
you
know, there it is.
If you order dim sum and you say, you know, I have the dim sum Coke, now it makes sense with your meal.
Right. It's an event.
Yes.
It's an event. No, I agree with you. My wife does not drink alcohol. She just doesn't like it.
Yeah.
And invariably, you know, she orders a Diet Coke with whatever it is we're eating. And occasionally I will have a Coke with whatever it is we're eating. And you're right. Like with certain foods, I'll have ordered it, and I'm drinking it, and I'm thinking, you know, the taste of this product really has nothing to do with this that I'm eating.
Right. You really should be drinking. Like, if you were more, or if I were more refined, maybe you'd be ordering some sort of a wine with dinner. You know, I mean, but I don't. I'm not a huge wine drinker. If I ordered wine, I'd probably get a glass of water just to drink with it, because it's like I don't really appreciate it as much as I probably should. And so that's why, yeah, if you're not a big drinker, you have like a Coke-type product to go along with a good French meal. You know what I mean? Because that's the thing. It's like if you go to a really high-class restaurant and you order a Coke,
right?
It's like you just like totally, you know, you have your food card taken away from you or something.
Well, honestly, I mean, I do like wine. I'm not like a wine snob.
Sure.
I will say that wines can bring out different flavors in food.
Yes.
But so can a Coke, you know, or orange juice. I think maybe the missing piece is There's no language to match other beverages with foods.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We need a snob factor, you know, to describe the terroir of the particular Coke.
Well, this would be a perfect way to add a snob factor I don't think we should make it clear. We're just using Coke as kind of like a dividing factor here. It's not. Yes. There's nothing that, you know. It could be any soda, really. So this is up to the grabs for anybody. If you work for a soda manufacturer and you're thinking of, you know, creating some sort of new brand or new line, I think this could be the new thing. This is, you know, we're in a new decade. We should try some new things.
Yeah, it's the thing decade, man.
Try new thing. Yeah, the thing decade. I love it. Oh, that sounds like it might be the forerunner for the.
I'm writing that down. I've actually turned a corner here because I started in a different place when I started thinking about doing the podcast. I put together a Google Doc, which I've been using a lot, Google Documents.
Mm-hmm.
And before I had my little notepad, but now I'm ticky tapping right in front of me. And
okay. So it's an ongoing type of conversation you're having in Google Docs.
Well, sort of. Not a conversation. You know, I'm having the conversation with you and sort of with, you know, you folks listening. You can't really talk back, or maybe you're talking back, but I can't hear you. So it's not really part of the conversation there. You know what? Skype would be an awesome soda name.
Skype. Yeah, you know, and then Skype is good because you can add the flavor, like it is like Coke in the sense that you can add Mexican Skype.
Yep.
Cajun Skype.
Cajun Skype.
Chocolate Skype. Yeah.
Those all sound like superheroes as well.
Cherry Skype. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm feeling that. I think we should totally commandeer that, you know, technology and just assign it to a new brand.
Oh, I just thought of something.
Yes.
This is unrelated. This is sort of a left turn. I just realized at the top of the podcast, before we say anything, a sort of deep, almost robot-y voice says, "From Paul's house and from Storm's house."
Yeah.
That is inaccurate. And in fact, you are in Cleveland, correct?
That's right. I am in Cleveland. I'm in snowy, snowy Cleveland. About the only thing we have in common right now is the snow on the ground.
We still do have some snow on the ground here, in fact. Do you have the fresh stuff there?
Yes, it's been snowing like nonstop for a week.
See, I love that. Like, even when it's a pain in the ass, when snow is falling, my heart just goes, oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting. You know, here's the thing. I am waiting, and we kind of had it, but not as much as I feel like we should have. We need a really good snowstorm. Now, you guys had already had the snowstorm right before Christmas.
Yeah.
But I want that, like, for Cleveland. Like, I want to feel like I'm buckling in. I'm not going anywhere. I have a couple movies to watch.
Yep.
We're just in, and we have a fire, and we're not going anywhere. And in the morning, we're going to have to dig ourselves out of this. I always look forward to that time of the year, the big first big snowfall. And we've kind of had it, but it wasn't like winds associated with it and stuff like that. But I love the feeling of just like buckling in and like waiting to get dumped on. It's just, there's something cool about it.
Well, I'm totally with you. Like that, there, I have to think of a word for that because it is a unique feeling.
Yeah.
That anticipation, and it's like you're anticipating all of the good things that are going to happen, and it's unusual.
Yes.
And even a little bit dangerous. Like,
you know, it's so funny about it, and I don't know if you do this, but when there's a big snowstorm, I always think, oh, let's order out. Let's get food in.
Yeah, heck yeah. It's like a party. It's like it's a birthday party, except this person, you don't know when their birthday is going to be, and they can have five birthdays, you know?
Well, I love the fact that people think, let's order food. So you're willing to stay home to be in safe harbor while some schmo is going to be driving around and risking life and limb to bring you your burritos.
Well, you got to tip them well. You know, if you do that, it's okay. That just goes with the job. part of the territory, my friend.
That's what. Yeah, if you're going to be open, people are going to call you. So
now, is it normal to get at least one or even two of those absolute snoffer woofer snowstorms each year in Cleveland?
Yeah, usually they're we've been getting them a little bit later too, like moving into March and things like that. But I mean, we got like about a foot of snow here where we're at, and a little bit more in the snow belt, and so I'm like totally into just a big snowfall. And we haven't had it yet. And you know, the other thing, I'd rather have big snowfalls than super cold.
Like, yes.
Like super uber 20, 30, 40 below zero. And we had that last year, and that was no fun.
See, I was about to say we kind of have that now, but it's only like in the 20s and 30s. But it's been that way for weeks, which is a little unusual here. So you've already expanded my whole picture of Cleveland. And I have to admit that... I've now been to Cleveland a couple of times.
Yeah.
But I've never had sort of a sense of Cleveland, yeah. And I still don't.
Yeah. You come in, and then you go over to the Beachland, right? Because that's where you've been playing recently.
Right.
And then you don't, yeah, you just see the highways and the byways. It's not, you don't really get to see what is in Cleveland. And, you know, Cleveland... you know, I don't want to get into like regionalities here, but it's,
sure.
I mean, it's no Virginia, that's for sure.
Well, Virginia's got its things and its not things as well.
Yeah, but you have all kinds of history in Virginia. That's the thing. It's like, you know, you drive through and there's such a rich history. We drove through Virginia last year on a vacation and I'm thinking, man, there's just so much cool stuff here.
No, it's a trick. See, what they do is they take all of the history stuff in the state and they put it right by the highway. So you think everything is historic and awesome, but they've just concentrated it for your benefit to show.
Okay, so it doesn't really matter then. It's not
no,
of real importance.
If you averaged out Virginia and Ohio, you'd get the same thing. They just put it in the more populous place.
So Virginia, I guess, is smarter than Ohio in the sense that they can well they are smarter in the sense that they've been able to move their points of interest.
We'll say they're shrewder.
Okay, there you go. That's fair.
But this is sort of leading to a question.
Sure.
That you can ponder and answer. And I guess it's semi-related that there are places that you've never been, and then you go there, and they're either exactly like you expected them, or sometimes entirely disappointing, and sometimes terrifically more awesome. And thinking in particular about like things you've seen in TV and film. Like, you know, when I saw Disneyland on TV when I was a kid, I thought that looked like a really awesome place to go. And then I went, and it was.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's one that turned out. But then there was L.A., and I had family in L.A., still do. And I remember seeing it on TV and what that would be like. And then when I went out there, there was some of that kind of magic-y stuff, but mostly it was just sort of a bunch of streets.
Yeah, it was a big letdown, right.
Like the movie studios. Well, Universal Studios, they had the whole, you know, ride and thing like that, but I went to the other studios with just these buildings, you know?
Yeah.
That's no
yeah.
good.
And you know what the biggest letdown, I think, for me, I guess if you're talking traveling, but even, you know, you said television and film and stuff like that, but even the one real big letdown, and you would probably relate to this because you were just there recently, for me, was Stonehenge.
You know, we didn't go. We ended up not going.
Oh, okay. Well, don't worry. You're not missing much.
Wow. Now, how did you really go out of your way to go there?
No, actually, I was in college, and I was actually traveling with Nora. We were we were in a group, and one of the stops was Stonehenge.
Oh, Nora, your wife?
Yeah, my wife. Yes, and we were one of the stops was Stonehenge, and we drove on a bus. Probably like an hour and a half to get there. And when we got there, it was like seriously, this is all there is? I was expecting like these enormous stones towering above you, like, you know, just this magical thing happening, and nothing. It was just the stones were probably like, you know, like 10 feet tall, maybe even really? Smaller than that. Yeah, so they're really small.
It was like a playground almost.
Yeah, the stones were only, I mean, they're arranged there, but it's really small. And I remember there were photos of us standing there, like, with our arms in the air, like, this is it? Like, you're kidding me, right? I mean, so that was a real disappointment.
So you didn't feel the majesty and the mysticism.
Yeah, I think it was. You know, also, I think I may have personally confused Easter Island for Stonehenge.
Right. The whole stone monolith thing. Have you been to Easter Island?
I have not.
Okay, because it could end up being the same thing. You know, you get there.
You get there, and it's like,
hey, these are only a foot high, you know? Trick photography or something.
It's like Spinal Tap, for real.
Maybe that's where they got the idea for the app. Because they went there and said, oh, these are really small.
Yeah. It was. It was really kind of underwhelming, if I can use a word there.
Do you like Star Wars?
I love Star Wars. Do you like Star Wars?
I do. I ask that because this was actually a debacle yesterday.
I was trying to figure out what you were doing.
The answer is I didn't know. So this part is an apology to anybody who follows us on Twitter, and also an explanation. I asked the question, do you like Star Wars? And my original reason, I don't know, I was feeling kind of wily and just wanted to see. I mean, it was like whenever there's a hashtag experience where people pile on puns and stuff,
yeah,
one of the surefire ways to get something to get people to respond is to make it somehow about Star Wars.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think in part because everybody loves Star Wars, and in part because there are a lot of little details and characters and places that you can use to make puns and to create images and all of that. But what came to mind was this friend of mine and former bandmate, Richard Sue, and his wife have a couple of very young kids. And it was his wife that described how her son, they're in some public place, and you've probably seen this as someone who has kids. And his son was standing there, and there was some other kid standing there, and they were sort of just kind of eyeing each other up, you know? Mm-hmm. And I guess they're like, you know, 5 years old or so. And it's very awkward. And then the other kid says, do you like Star Wars? And Richard and Michelle's kid was just like, ah, da, 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 and then all of a sudden they were just talking a million miles an hour. And I just thought that was so charming. And I was trying to think of a way to condense that into a Twitter post and to kind of recreate that.
Yeah.
And it ended up just sort of devolving into, I don't know.
Yeah. I ended up calling Paul a midget hater at some point.
Because
he said he hated Willow.
Right, that's right. He does. He doesn't care for that.
I don't really care for Willow either, but I thought it was kind of funny.
Little people, by the way.
Yeah. So. Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm forgive me.
Why not just say Peck? Go ahead. You know. Go ahead.
No, that's. I know. I'm. Yeah. I can't. Well, it was Paul who hates the little people.
Right. Well, no, I think he was referring just to the movie.
I know he doesn't like that.
Well, he's not here. He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll trash him. It's all right.
You know what? I like where we've come to here. I feel like we've really learned some things.
I hope so.
This is getting to the point where it's, you know, getting kind of long for what we're doing. Although I feel like we could talk for another 5 hours.
We probably could. We have in the past.
Well, yes, we have. And I think it would be entertaining, but to keep with the loose format we have, I think it's time to announce sort of to come to the Pollen Storm gigs coming up.
Yes. What do you have coming up?
Well, then, on Thursday, we're going to be in Orlando.
This Thursday?
That's correct. Tickets are available as they are also for St. Petersburg on Friday.
Nice.
I know.
Is this the first time you played Florida?
You know what it is.
Wow.
We've done gigs in Miami and Orlando, but they were like corporate private event type things.
Right, right.
I don't think we have ever done a public show in Florida.
Has the response been pretty good out there? Have the Floridians come out in mass numbers?
So far, ticket sales are good. If you live in Florida, though, we highly encourage you to come out so that we are encouraged to return again. It will be with Jonathan Colton, of course,
yes. And
also Atlanta on Saturday. And Atlanta is always fun.
Oh, yes. Atlanta is going to be a good time. Your Floridians in Orlando, they could actually make a night of it. They could go do Disneyland and then go to, or Disney World, I'm sorry, Disney World. And then
it would be a much longer night if they chose Disneyland. But yeah. Yes,
it would be much longer. Well, they could do Disney World and then wrap it up with Paul and Storm, Jonathan Colton.
Personally, I think that's a great idea.
I think it's a good idea. There should be a package. Have you talked to Disney? There should be a package.
You know what? We'll talk to them. It may be too late, and by the time you hear this, you may not be able to get the package. But
the Muppets are also playing a big part. Aren't they part of Disney? Are they part of like the whole thing?
I don't remember anymore. I think they were. I think they were bought by Disney.
Yeah, because they're showing up on ABC shows. They're showing up on like
that's right.
America's Funniest Home Videos and Extreme Makeover.
Which I think is great.
Yeah,
you know?
I know. That's the thing. You know, they're back, and I'm thinking, why did they ever leave? This is good television. People love to watch Muppets.
They've sort of come full circle. Like, the Muppets, when Jim Henson was first kind of rolling them out, although I'm sure he didn't think of it that way, it was, you know, appearances on this show and that show, like, making all these other shows more interesting and fun and better, you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they're back to doing that.
I love it. Seriously, they should bring back the Muppet Show again.
I think I'm hoping and thinking that that's sort of what they're angling at. Like, reintroduce them. You have all the parents who loved the Muppets. Frame them in a way that's, you know, a little bit new. And you get the kids familiar. And then once you get this critical mass, you say, all right, Muppet Show.
Well, no, you know, my 2-year-old daughter, she saw that Muppet Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yes.
And now every time she sees animals, she calls him the mama guy. She's like, mama, mama, I love the mama. I go, that's animal. And she's like, animal. But she's like, it's the Muppets, Muppets. So it's, you know, early indoctrination of the Muppets are very important.
Well, and for a while, you know, they put movies out, but I got to confess, you know, it wasn't sort of up to the same spirit and I won't say quality because it was always quality, but sort of the sense of mischief and fun and, oh my God, you know, that, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that.
Right,
and
right.
They lost that for a while, and I think they're hitting their stride again, so it's great to see.
So, yeah, so that's another thing to write down. Put that in the Google Doc. You need to work on getting a Muppet sort of themed, you know, crossover show with you and Colton and Paul and Storm.
Well, I've said it in the past. It's one of my sort of dream goals is for Paul and I to do something on Sesame Street, you know, when they have a musician like Paul Simon comes on. Not that we're ever going to be like Paul Simon, but, you know, to do something with the Muppets is a dream. So Muppets, if you're listening, we're right here and we are eager and able.
You know, this is the first show of 2010. Can I make a prediction?
Please do.
I predict that by the end of the year, this will be 12/31/10.
Okay.
You will be in negotiations, if not already done, something with the Muppets.
Wow, Len. That I can't think of a better gift than that prediction.
You know, and I was the one who called the year of the Colton here, so there's some cred going on here.
Oh, I am not doubting you. And I sincerely hope that happens.
And here's the thing: if Paul has his way, there will be some sort of Muppet thing going on. The Muppets at Woodstock—that'll be the next thing.
You know what? That would make heads explode. Starting
that would be freaking awesome, dude.
All right, So hope you've enjoyed this. Len, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And I'd love to come back anytime. Just feel free to hit me up.
You know what? This Skype thing has been working well. I'll talk to Paul and see maybe we can do our first ever three-way call thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Not counting the podcast we did in the hot tub, because that was the thing.
We should just bring all our internet friends on, bring them all on a massive call.
We'll work on it. We'll add one at a time and work our way up to that. Join the Paul and Storm Brigade of Minions. Go to paulandstorm.com to find about that. Florida, come and see us with Jonathan Colton. Go to monsterbymail.com. Is that right, Len?
Yes, or they can just go to lenperalta.com.
So that's got everything you're doing,
everything,
all the flip faces, the icons, exactly. The avatars,
yes,
all of them.
Everything's there.
And, Mama!
Do you like Star Wars?
I'm Storm.
And I'm Len.
And we've been talking about stuff for 5 to 10 minutes.
On average.
Go do things.
Design and logo design and marketing illustrations
and any other creative visual projects that require a versatile, energetic, and collaborative mind.